You're listening to the Converge Podcast Network and The Conversation with Adam Weber, lead pastor of Embrace Church and author of Love Has a Name.
Everybody, whether you're on your way to work, on your way home, on your front porch, in bed, on the treadmill, I want to welcome you to the Conversation Podcast. As always, I am excited, thrilled, honored, pumped that you are tuning in today. And I'm just really, really excited about today's episode. I'm going to get right to it. In today's episode, I sat down with a new friend of mine named Kirby Minnick. Kirby, she is an amazing, amazing person. She is a YouTuber with a ginormous following. She is a podcaster. She has a podcast called Bought and Beloved. Kind of cool. We're actually co-releasing episodes. She was on my podcast, which you're about to hear, and I was on hers. And so I want to encourage you right now, go find Bought and Beloved by Kirby Minnick. From Kirby, you're going to get honesty. You're going to get a humor. You're going to just get real life talking about Jesus. I was so impressed with her. And the more I get to know her, the more that I just want to follow her and listen to her and hear what she has to say. So go listen to that. She's also just a pastor. She is a preacher. She's a speaker. She's an influencer in every different way. And so I'm just so grateful. This was a big deal for me that I was able to interview Kirby. We had just an honest conversation talking about her story. Her story involves heartache. She lost her dad at a young age around addiction. And so if that's something that you know a friend or a coworker has had the same thing happen, I want to encourage you to share this with them. She also just speaks candidly about being used by God and the cool things, but also the haters that come out with that as well. I was just really refreshed from our time. I know that you have so much to learn from Kirby. And so again, go subscribe to her podcast. But as always, sit back, relax, and enjoy this conversation. Well, I'm here with Kirby, and Kirby is a teacher. She's a preacher. She's an advocate on so many different levels. She's a YouTuber. And more than that, she's someone who, even from a distance, radiates Jesus. And I've been looking forward to this interview. I get to sit down with so many different people, and I don't say this lightly. Like, I've really been looking forward to this time, and I don't even know how to explain that. And so, Kirby, I just want to welcome you to the podcast today. It's a huge honor to have you with me.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here and to share my story and both of us really just dive deep and show everybody just how good God is in every area of our life. So thank you for having me.
Oh, it's just a huge honor. So one of my favorite parts is just hearing a person's story. And you shared a bit of it before coming on, but I'd love to hear where you're originally from, kind of upbringing. And I'll interrupt you a couple times and ask you random.
Absolutely. Business. Yeah. So I guess I'll just dive on into my testimony because it's a good one. So I am based in Dallas, Texas now. A little bit about me before we begin, just so everyone knows who I am. My name is Kirby Minnick. I'm based in Dallas, Texas. I'm 23 years old. And I am a social media influencer slash like Christian speaker, preacher, all that stuff. I just love Jesus. I love the internet. I really believe that, you know, media is such a mission field for ministry. And I really see that demand. So it's like, all right, let's supply it. I love it. But going back to the very beginning, when I was born in London, England, and my dad, he worked on Wall Street. So my family, you know, they lived in Australia for a time before my brother and I were born. We were born in London, England, and we moved back to the States when I was one. And I wouldn't say that I was born into a sold out Christian family. I think a lot of people assume that when they meet me based on, you know, just how much Jesus has changed my life.
Yeah.
But I was born into a Catholic family. And when you live in New Jersey, you're either Jewish or Catholic. It's really one or the other. And it really is.
It is.
Not wrong. And so growing up in that environment, I wouldn't say that it was strictly just like, okay, this is tradition, this is all you do. I'm very thankful that my mom really instilled in me, you know, okay, we pray before bed. Okay, like Jesus is real. Like he loves you. He died for your sins. Like I knew the basics of Christianity even, yep. You know, I knew the basics, but that was about it. It wasn't like I had this genuine relationship. I believed in him, really had that childlike faith, but I never knew just like the depths of that. Yeah. So growing up, that was kind of that. And my family was far from perfect. I think that that was the illusion that my family wanted to portray, that like, we have it all together, everything's fine, everything's perfect. And that's really like New Jersey culture up there, at least yeah. like in the area we were at. But behind the scenes, my dad was really struggling. He was really struggling with a drinking problem. And so when 9/11 happened, you know, he worked for Wall Street or on Wall Street. Luckily, he survived, but he was there. Like, he witnessed it. And we had family friends. He had good friends that died in that. And so that really was kind of just like the tipping point for him that sent him off the edge with his drinking, with that numbing. And so that eventually led to the divorce of my parents when I was 7, moved down to Texas with my mom and my brother when I was 8. And, you know, our life was kind of in shambles at that point. Like we grew up yeah. with this like one life, and now we were forced into a whole new way of living, like genuinely, like it was two different worlds. But when we moved down here, my mom was like, okay, what am I going to do with my kids? I got to figure out what I'm going to do with my life. And she heard an ad on the radio for this like Christian summer camp. She's like, okay, I'll just send my kids to camp for a week as I like get stuff figured out. Like, I think that was probably her mentality of like, I just need to get them out of here while I figure out life for us. And so my brother and I, we go off to this Christian camp, and you know, like the ad is on the radio, it's like, you want to have fun this summer? So like my mom's like, okay, we'll have fun this summer, sends us. And it was, I think that was like the biggest thing that God could have ever done in my life. Like he truly can use any bad thing and turn it into a good thing, like beauty from ashes. So amidst like this divorce and this life transition, being so young, having gone through the trauma of just like with, you know, my dad and everything, experiencing that, we go to this Christian summer camp. And that was the first time it was really ever introduced to me, like, you can have a relationship with yeah. Jesus. And it's like, I knew who this Jesus guy was. I knew who God was. Like, I heard these names before. I understood, like, their character and all that stuff. But it really began to resonate with me of like, oh my gosh, like, wait, this is real. Like, oh, you read your Bible. Like, you don't just, like, open it in church. Like, it was all these little things that I was, like, never exposed to growing up. And I continued going to that summer camp every year until I was like too old to leave, till I was like 18. and I ended up working there as well. So
no way.
Yeah. I ended up oh my gosh. For like 2 years.
What so, when you, that first year you went, how old were you? And was
I
that
was eight.
You were eight. And did that mm-hmm. camp happen shortly after you moved like away?
Yeah. Yeah. So we moved my parents got divorced, I think, officially when I was 7, or that process was happening when I was 7. And my birthday is in early spring, so I turned 8, and that summer we moved to Texas. So it was that summer that when we came down here, my mom was just like, the kids need something to do that's like fun to get them, you know, just like separated from everything while she was figuring life out. And she sent us to a Christian summer camp called Sky Ranch, and yeah. it was the best thing ever. But I think something that's like very common among camp cultures, like you get on like this camp high, like this spiritual high, and then you just go back into normal life. And that's what I experienced for the first few years of camp, where it's like I would be like, okay, this is amazing, this is great, I love the people, I love the worship, I love all these things that we're talking about and yeah. learning, and I love that I get to talk about my problems too and like be heard and feel safe and feel okay. But then I'd go back into the real world, and it was just like struggle, strife, trying to figure life out. And when I was 10 years old, I remember coming home from school one day, and I got home from school and my mom was there, my aunt was there, my grandpa was there. And I was like, why is everybody here? I was so confused. But I really feel like God kind of gave me a warning, because like the minute I opened the door to go into the house, like I knew something wasn't right. And I knew like God, I think, was really preparing my heart to receive some news at that moment. And my brother and I received the news that my dad passed away that morning. And it was, you know, because of his drinking, like that eventually led up to his body just giving out. And that was like the hardest thing that one of the hardest things that I've had to endure. And I just remember being so mad at God, like not understanding why this was happening. And I remember after hearing the news, like running up to my room, slamming the door and just like, not even like yelling in anger, but just like yelling at him in this like intense pain of like, why are you doing this to me? It's like one thing after the next. It's like, you're destroying my family. You're ripping this all apart from me. Like, what did I do to deserve this? Like, I'm 10 years old. And it was in that moment that the enemy really put a foothold in my life of telling me like, oh, well, you could have done something. You could have saved him. You could have told him about Jesus and X, Y, and Z. And so from that point on, I just, I felt like, oh my gosh, like it's my responsibility to be everything for everyone, not lead them to Jesus, but to be a savior for everyone.
Yeah,
that put me in this dangerous cycle of just people pleasing, something that I still have to break free from today. Cause it was so ingrained in me of like being the one person that had everything all together for my family, for my friends, for everyone. I wanted to maintain, you know, the peace and the joy and then this for everyone, but it was killing me. And it led to the point where, when I was in middle school, I began getting bullied. That led to self-harm, that led to suicidal thoughts and tendencies. I mean, all of these terrible things where I just felt like I had no worth at all. And so by the end of eighth grade, I was done with life. I mean, I think back to that and I'm like, I was 13, 14 years old, like contemplating suicide. But I went back to that summer camp that summer because I went every summer, you know, after that, because I loved it so much. And we were doing the same old thing, you know, like singing the same songs, reading new, you know, things in scripture and whatnot. But nonetheless, it was the same kind of camp routine. But I was worshiping one night and I remember just like really authentically coming before the Lord for the first time, like really being like, God, I'm so tired of life and doing things the way that I'm doing it and just, you know, enduring all this pain and feeling the need to please everyone and not feeling enough. I was just like, God, I'm tired. Like, I need your help kind of deal. Yeah. And the only way that I can experience that or explain that moment was that it was euphoric. Like I physically could just like feel the presence of God come down in that room. And like, I felt just like warm and that I was like surrounded by light. And I knew that God was in this place, in that moment. I was just like, oh my gosh, like he's here. Like I could feel it, like crying out to him, really just giving everything I can to him, just like inviting him in. I could feel it. And in the sweetest tone, I couldn't audibly hear, but my spirit just knew. He was saying to me in the sweetest voice, just, you know, Kirby, what are you doing? And I was just like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like just breaking down, like trying to be everything for everyone. I was just pouring out my heart to God and he knew my heart, but I was pouring it out to him nonetheless. And it was as if over time I had begun building up a wall in my heart, specifically towards him, because I didn't feel worthy. I felt like I was being punished. The enemy truly that continued to grow. But as he was just being so tender and loving and kind in that moment and being present with me, he just revealed to me that he was there in this moment. He was working in this moment and just showing me how he was even using me to bring people to Christ before I even would have called myself a Christian. Like there were all these things that were happening. And above all else, as he was kind of taking down the walls of my heart brick by brick and showing me where he was present, he ended it, you know, kind of this like big lavish moment by just saying, you know, and above all else, I'm your perfect father in heaven who loves you and is here for you. And I mean, that just changed the game for me. Like, I'm not alone. You are for me. You are with me. You love me. I don't have to do anything. Like it really hit me in that moment that I don't have to strive for love anymore. And I was like, okay, Lord, like, what do? I don't want this depression. I don't want these suicidal thoughts. How do I get rid of them? And he was just like, just give it to me. Yeah. And so I really, truly felt this exchange where I was giving him all those things. It was like kicking off a backpack. I felt that weight come off. And immediately, I really believe in that moment as I, you know, profess like, Jesus, I'm choosing you. I felt the Holy Spirit just like completely take over, and I began crying these tears of joy. I just felt free and full. Like, I never felt that way in my life, of being fully known and fully loved. And to make a long story short, because, you know, I know I'm taking some time.
This is incredible. This is incredible.
Thank you. Oh my gosh. But it was the coolest part is that even after that moment of just of giving my life to Jesus, like, it was really this moment for me. Turning over to the rest of my camp members, and we were all worshiping in this big auditorium, and everyone came up to me because, like, I was like crying and like something was happening, and everyone came up to me. They're like, "Are you okay? Like, is everything fine?" And I'm like 14 years old, right? But I turn to everyone and I'm just like, "Jesus loves you." And I just like start preaching at them. Like, really, God like commissioned me in that moment to start preaching about him, like, as it is, you know, like, go and tell the good news. And I start preaching, and then I really feel like the Holy Spirit just like came upon everyone else. So all the campers start crying and giving their lives to Jesus. And I can just see the counselors like, "This is exactly what camp's about." Like, yes, like, yes. So this is probably the week they were waiting for. I was a counselor, so I know. But man, like, we like opened up the doors to the auditorium, and there was this big field, and we're like running in this field, like proclaiming Jesus's name. Meanwhile, all the other cabins, they're like, up with them. But, you know, from that moment on, I remember going back to our cabin after that and writing down in a journal, like, you know, from this moment on, Lord, like, I'm living for you. Like, when we leave this place, it's not going to be one of these roller coasters where it's okay. I'm good. I'm walking with you. I'm not walking with you.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, we're doing life together. And I'm so grateful that he grabbed a hold of my heart just before I entered high school, because, you know, a bunch of my friends began living lives that weren't Christ glorifying. Not that I think I would. But then again, it's like, who knows? Like, grabbed a hold of my heart at the right moment in time. And he was able to use me in my friend's life and my family's life. That's when I really began social media ministry. I got social media when I was in eighth grade. Like, it was just a thing. It wasn't even social media influencer was a thing at that point, but I got social media in eighth grade, Instagram.
That's crazy.
But in high school, I was like, I want to put out content. I want to get my name out there, because I love performing. I love entertaining. I love bringing people joy. Yeah. But by my senior year, the Lord convicted me, and he was like, do this for me. And I began doing social media for him. And I'm sure you have questions at this point, so I'll let you ask them.
No, this is Kirby. This is amazing. Yeah. And I'm honored that you'd share all of that. It's crazy how God can just take our worst, ugliest moments and somehow redeem them. How long was it from the loss of your dad to that moment at camp? Like, how long was that gap?
I would say that gap was about 3 years. I lost my dad. I don't remember what year it was. Geez, but yeah, I was 10 years old. I was in fifth grade. And then I gave my life to Jesus just after eighth grade. So about 3 years.
Wow.
Yeah. And
maybe it was a all at once type thing in that moment, or maybe it's been a journey. For the person who's had just that traumatic loss, like just that, and it's one thing to lose your father. It's another thing to lose him under those circumstances.
Yeah.
You know, so then there's kind of all this mix of like, I'm not just grieving, I'm also angry.
Yeah.
At God, at him and something. Like, I mean, like, just like, there's so many emotions. When I've been around a suicide, my very first funeral was a suicide. It was a man that I met with 7 hours before he took his life. And I've never seen the range of emotions. Like, it wasn't just grieving. It was just like grieving and anger and happiness and rage. Like, it was all this stuff.
Everything.
So it's just that traumatic, like, experience, and it looks different. Has there been specific things that you feel like has brought healing for you away from Jesus? Like, has there been things, whether it's counseling, whether it's a resource, do you feel like there's been certain moments in healing your soul that have come that you're like, this is maybe a few things I would tell somebody who's not maybe dealt with it. They've kind of just brushed underneath the rug. Any thoughts to that person?
Absolutely. Obviously, Jesus is the big number one answer. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that's kind of a given with this, that the Lord really stepped in and revealed his heart for me.
Yeah.
But second, I would say counseling. So even at the moment of my parents' divorce, I was put in therapy, and therapy and counseling, they're fairly different. You know, therapy is a lot of just like talking it out yourself and them kind of like asking you guiding questions to help you kind of like solve things, I would say, and figure things out for yourself. Whereas counseling really is like, okay, we're at point A, where's point B? Let's help you get there. Let's navigate. And so I did therapy as a child. So it was just a lot of talking and that helped me. But as I got older, I began doing counseling, and that specifically helped me because I was like, I want healing. This is where I need to be. And so they really gave me tools to, you know, figure out my own emotions and, you know, process the trauma. And I had a safe space to talk. Growing up, as I stated, we were the family that wanted to project that everything was fine and okay. So nobody knew that my dad was an alcoholic. I don't think I told any of my friends until I was in like eighth grade, like 3 years after my dad had died. And I was like, God is freeing me from these things. Like, it really wasn't until then, I think, that I told a friend that these were things I was dealing with. And that's something that I still struggle with today, where it's like, you know, I'll find myself like harboring up stuff. And I'm like, no, God, like I need to confide in community, or I need to seek mentorship, or I need to seek counseling. And He's been so good to me to help me have more boldness in that and more opportunity to do that. He's surrounded me with such great people and resources. But counseling has been the biggest thing that's helped me. And I don't know. I don't have necessarily any books I can recommend at the moment, just because that wasn't my go-to as a child, as I was processing these things. It really was Jesus and linking up with people that went through similar experiences and being guided by older people who were certified in these things, and my own willingness to be vulnerable and talk about these things. That's the biggest thing, is having the willingness to be vulnerable. Because if you're hiding in shame, or if you're hiding in those things, it's like, there's no way you can experience healing. Like, God is saying, where are you? As you're like hiding in the midst of the garden because of your shame, whatever degree it might be, or your pain or whatever. But you know, He's calling us to step out and be vulnerable so He can cover us and cleanse us from those things that are really trying to keep us from Him. So I would say, like, you got to be vulnerable. And sometimes that's through counseling. Sometimes that's through community.
No, that's so good, Kirby. Thanks for sharing that too. I was going to say, the two things that you mentioned was the importance of community and not sharing it with the world. And at times it's okay to do that. But just having those two, three people that are just kind of bottomless pits that you can just like, here's everything that I'm feeling and here's what I'm walking through. And then just being vulnerable. Oftentimes we only think of being vulnerable when it comes to other people, like with those two, three people. But I think you mentioned it's so important, like even being vulnerable with God. I know for me, one of the biggest breakthroughs in my prayer life happened. I just finished reading Mark Batterson's The Circle Maker. And he talks about like just like saying exactly what you feel or exactly what you want. And I was up visiting my in-laws. My dad has had a pain issue for the last 10 years. He's been in horrible pain. And my dad's my hero. I mean, one of the most wonderful people ever. And I've prayed faithfully, like for the first 3 years of my dad's pain, I prayed faithfully that God would heal him. But it was just kind of like, yeah, God, can you heal my dad? Yeah, I want you to heal my dad. Like just kind of nice, soft prayers.
Yeah.
One day I was driving. Again, I was up visiting my in-laws in a car by myself. I had just read a chapter from Circle Maker. And I just, for the first time, I said, God, I want you to heal my dad, and I don't know why you haven't.
That's a mood.
and it's like, oh, that's what you've actually been feeling. Like, yeah. I mean, and I was angry. I was like, my dad loves the Lord. And like, I was just angry. And it was almost like God said to me, Adam, I've been waiting for you to share that with me. You know, I felt like I couldn't say that, like, or I shouldn't say that because it's not a good, very Christian thing to do. Mm-hmm. And yet God's like, you've been hiding, just like you said in the garden. It's like, I've seen you behind those bushes over there wondering. Yeah. Like, and I just think that moment. And so I think that person processing pain, just to have that moment where you're like, hey, God, I just need to be vulnerable. I'm embarrassed yeah. by this, or I'm struggling with that, or I'm feeling this. That's so good.
You're listening to the Converge Podcast Network. And now, a message from a network supporter.
This podcast is sponsored by Denison Ministries, which is a movement creating 7 million culture-changing Christians who are committed to carrying out the truth of the gospel to their sphere of influence through a variety of different ways, which is why Denison Ministries is excited about sponsoring what God is up to on the Conversation podcast. One of the cool ways Denison Ministries helps Christians feel closer to God is through their First 15 devotional. First 15 is designed to help you spend the first 15 minutes of your day experiencing God through scripture, worship, and prayer. You can sign up for First 15 email devotional at first15.org/subscribe or start your day off with First 15 devotional podcast anywhere that you listen.
Kirby, so keep us. You start getting into social.
Yeah.
What did that even look like practically? Like at that, like mm-hmm. even before you started using For God or after you started, like, mm-hmm. like what, like share that even, like you just randomly got an account one day and then like,
yeah.
share that part of things.
Basically, you know, growing up, I loved watching YouTube videos. That was like such a big thing for, I think just kids my age was like yeah. watching these people make funny videos, and YouTube was so different back then than it is now. But I just remember watching these people who were, you know, just wanted to get their name out there or just wanted to create for the sake of creating, because that's what they love to do. And I was like, that's what I love to do. I love to make people laugh. I love to bring people joy. I'm a creative person. I always got stuff going on up here. I'm like, I can make it and produce it on here. And people can watch it. Like, I don't have to be a kid in Hollywood on TV in order to entertain people, even though that was like my dream at the time. I would still love to go into acting one day if the Lord wills. Like, open that door, God. That's fine with me.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
I mean, if he wants to. But no, so I begged my mom growing up. I'm like, please, can I make a YouTube channel? And like any sane parent, she's like, absolutely not. I was like, okay. But when I was in eighth grade, Instagram came out and all my friends had it. And Instagram, again, was very different then than it is now. So it's like you take a picture on the app, edit it with the like filters on the app and just post it with like a rinky dink little caption. And that's it. And like your 10 friends would like it. And you're like, okay, cool. Like that's what Instagram was. And so my mom let me get an Instagram. She's like, well, you can't put your last name out there. I was like, okay, Kirby is a boss. We'll go with that. And so like, that's where my username came from. Just like my mom being like, you can't put your last name out there. I was like, well, and boss was a big thing back then. Like, oh yeah, I'm a boss. Like,
yeah,
it's just this whole thing, and it's just stuck. I'm like, I can't change it now. So I started just posting regular content. But when I got into high school, my mom had a little bit more leniency, where I was like, please, can I make a YouTube channel? Please. Like I gained a following on Instagram just through posting content on there. People really liked it. I began making friends on Instagram who also had big accounts, and they helped me with growth and with you know, different accounts, all yep. kinds of stuff. There was just a whole thing with that. So I then had a bunch of followers on Instagram through like the help of friends and everything. And they were like, well, you should hop on YouTube. Like, you really should. That's where we're all headed. And I was like, okay. And all my followers wanted me to. I was like, mom, please. She's like, okay, just don't use your last name. I'm like, already on it.
We got that covered.
There we go.
He's got that covered.
We got it. So I started uploading just like funny skit videos. And again, I was a Christian now at that point.
What do you think set you apart on Instagram even at first? Like, is there something?
If you
had to say three words of like, oof, what set me apart?
Three words. I think it was the fact that I was just authentic. The fact that I wasn't trying too hard, and that I really engaged with my community.
Like kind of talking back with them?
Or yeah, just like stuff? Messaging in the comments. Like I really was invested in getting to know my followers. And because I was just like, oh, these people are following me. This is great. Like, and they're commenting on my stuff. Like these are real people. Like I saw them as real people. So I wanted to engage with them. And I think people just, they liked that I was just a normal 14, 15 year old girl. Like I really wasn't wearing makeup. I wasn't trying to like put on anything. Not that that's the intention of people on social media, but I was really just like a young girl on here just trying to make people laugh, have a good time. And people related with that. I was just a very relatable human being.
Yeah.
And so from that, they were just like, make more. Like, you're really entertaining. We really like your stuff and we relate with you. So I started making YouTube videos when I was in high school. And at that point I was saved. So people knew I was a Christian. I was never not bold about that. I was very outspoken that like, hey, all my content, it's like, it's family friendly. And like, we're gonna, like, I love Jesus. That's why, like, I'm not going to do this, this, and that.
Yep.
And I was upfront about that. And I think that's another thing that people respected, was that I had morals and values and all of that. And I started making videos, just like really funny skit videos, vlog type videos. And through becoming friends with people in the YouTube community and kind of just being set apart in my content, being a girl who was a vlogger and a comedy kind of person, not just like beauty and fashion and lifestyle, which is stuff that I kind of do now. That really set me apart and people liked that. But when I was a junior or senior, like end of my junior year, beginning of my senior year, as I stated earlier, I really felt like the Lord was saying, hey, like, I want you to surrender your channel to me. Like, I really want you to make a YouTube video talking about this and a YouTube video talking about that and explaining this about my character and that. And I was just like, oh my gosh, Lord, I really had to pray about it. Like, again, the people pleaser in me, I only had about 3,000 subscribers at that point, but the people pleaser in me was like, oh my gosh, people are going to unsubscribe. They're going to leave hate comments. They're not going to understand. They're going to ridicule my character and slander my name.
Yeah.
Like, God, are you sure? And he's like, yes. And I was like, okay, yeah, that's what it means to die to self. Cool. Like, the Christian thing was easy for me. Like, in school, people knew me as the Christian girl. Like, I had a Bible study. I'd go up to people and just like tell them about Jesus.
Yeah.
I was on the cheer squad and they were like, I would have my Bible in my locker and they'd just be like, yeah, like, Kirby, I have a question. And I'd be like, all right, it's Bible study time. Like, sit down. Like, we would go into it. Like, people knew me for that.
Yeah.
But on YouTube, it was kind of different. So when I started putting out these videos that were very countercultural, I got exactly what I expected. I mean, people just unsubscribing, disliking the videos, hating on me in the comments, saying, oh, well, you're saying this about me. I'm like, I'm saying this about Jesus. Where are you getting this correlation? Like, you might feel conviction, that's on you, but it really was hard. It really was hard. And again, it still can be hard. I think it's so funny how God chose a people pleaser like me to now have the influence that I have and to be doing it for the one and to reach the one individual that needs to hear that word, not the 80 million, 90,000 or whatever, however many amount of people want to attack me. It's like, I need to be faithful to what God's calling me to do and to reach the person, because I think the numbers and the sponsorships and the brand and the lifestyle, like all that can be very glamorous. But when you're behind the screen, making the content, seeing all the responses, specifically a Christian, it's just like, oof, you really have to have that heart check of, this is really not about me. Like, I am not my own brand. Like, I am representing Jesus. And he heart checks me with that every day. He's really been heart checking me with that recently, just with a TikTok audio of mine that blew up.
Yeah.
It was just like a funny Christian one where I was like, put a finger down, Christian girl edition. And it was like Christian stereotypes. Like, put a finger down if you have jandals. Put a finger down if you had Proverbs 31 in your bio. Like, this whole thing. And it was like cute and playful, like nothing serious. But over the past 2 weeks, like, I'm being vulnerable here, Adam. It's been it's been really hard for me these past 2 weeks because I guess like some side of Christian TikTok took this very literally, that I was like promoting a performance-based kind of Christianity, and people started duetting the videos, making hate videos, like slandering me, saying that I don't love Jesus, that I'm like falsely teaching, that this is heresy. And then witch TikTok hopped on that, satanic TikTok hopped on that, every other world religion hopped on that, you know, like every community that you can think of that could potentially be against the Christian community in our culture has now like seen this and has come to my page. And I remember not being on TikTok for 3 days and I'm like, let me go on TikTok and see what's up. And I click on it and I see all of this stuff. And I'm freaking out, like sobbing, crying. It's been hard for me these past few days. Like, as little as that sounds, like it's funny to laugh about it now and to laugh about it with friends. But like, even now, it's like, I'll open up my phone and I'll see someone taking it completely out of context. And I'm like, you don't even know me in my heart for Jesus. My initial response is to like jump the gun,
yes,
defend myself, take down all the videos, put out 9 apology ones instead, like all of that. But I know that I need to continue being faithful in showing who God is in my life. Like, people are always going to try and come at you or take things out of context. And you know what? As leaders in ministry, we might not always get it right. I don't necessarily think that was the case for me in this, but even in the future, like if I were to ever say something and it be taken out of context, it's like, you know what? I'm not always going to get it right, but I'm not Jesus. Like, I'm doing my best to represent Jesus in the ways, the different mediums of ministry and in media that he's called me to be faithful in. It's like, I have to also have grace on myself to know that I'm doing what God has called me to do. So like there's, I haven't done necessarily anything wrong, and I can breathe and have grace on myself, but I can also rest in God's grace and joy in knowing that like I'm doing what he's calling me to do. And I was reading the other day, I believe, I forget what letter it is, but Paul writes it where he's just like, you know, I'll boast in weakness. Like I'll endure the hardships and the persecution and the insults and the this. And I was like, that's what it feels like for me right now. Like I need to have joy in God and understand that in this weakness where I am so, where I thrive so much on the approval and the praise of man, it's like,
me too.
It's like, I have to rely on God in this moment because I'm not getting that from man. I'm not getting that from man right now. And I shouldn't be. Like, that's not where my worth comes from. So God's heart checking me today with things that I struggled with at the very beginning of my, you know, ministry. And sometimes that's how it is, that like, you're going to have that thorn in your flesh where it's like, you want, like, you know, it's hard and it's difficult, but it's like, it's all the more opportunity to press into God, to be humbled and to rely on him. And I'm experiencing that. I'm really experiencing that, especially Kirby, right now.
yeah. Thank you for your candidness in that. And it's just honestly, just for even for me to hear, it's really refreshing to hear you talk about that part of things. And I would say for the person listening, and Kirby is not this, there's certain people who are just lightning rods where they try to get controversy around them. That's not you. And for that person and listening, I'm going to put kind of, I don't even know what to do, maybe put you into the side. For everybody else, if you have never been criticized, I would ask the question, are you following Jesus faithfully? And because if you do anything noteworthy, you will have haters. Again, I'm setting aside kind of the lightning rod personality that likes to say crazy stuff just to get whatever. But for everybody else, if you've never been criticized, like I would challenge you, you might want to make sure you're faithfully following Jesus. That's true if you're a mechanic and you don't even have Instagram. It's true if you're a leader. Like if you have nobody that's come against you, I would wonder if you're faithfully following Jesus. And I can remember, so I didn't want to write a book at all and had, you know, was so fortunate to have someone reach out to me and start the process. And right as I was about to sign a 2-book deal with Waterbrook Multnomah, one of my mentors in life, who's not an author, but he's a leader in his right in a specific field, he was just getting publicly annihilated. He did nothing wrong, but he was tied in with something that went wrong. And so he was in the news, his face every night, even though he did nothing wrong. And I can remember thinking, that's exactly why I don't want to write a book. Like, I don't want to put myself out there because I know I'll have haters who have never met me criticize one sentence in my book about what I said about prayer that, like, I didn't even think about, you know? And yet in that moment, and I'm such a people pleaser, so you're preaching to me, Kirby. Like, I want everybody to be my friend. Like, can't we just be friends? Like, I love you. I love everybody. Like, there's no reason to hate or send snarky texts or anything. Like,
I agree.
And so I just wanted to crawl under a rock as I'm seeing my mentor who has got the character that's off the charts get annihilated. And yet God was just like, but that doesn't sound like it leaves much room for me. Mm. Like, that doesn't sound like it leaves much room for walking by faith, Adam. If you're just going to do what you think is safe and what you can control, you won't get critics. That doesn't really sound like you're involving me much in all that. Yeah. And it's like, oh, shoot. Oh, yeah, probably. Mm-hmm. And so again, like, I think for those of us who are following Jesus, if we've never had critics, we might want to look at our life. And then for those of us who are quick to be critics, I've mm-hmm. found it's easy to be a critic when you've never had one. And so it's easy to hate when you've never been hated.
Yep.
It's easy to throw mud when you've never had mud thrown at you. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, once you've had that a few times, you all of a sudden become much slower to throw mud, to hate, to be a critic, because you know what it feels like. And you know how somebody else took one sentence you said and twisted it, just like you're trying to do it with somebody else. And one like off day that you had and you didn't have the best attitude and you did that with somebody else, all of a sudden God just, you could almost see the people who have been faithful in following Jesus. They may ask hard questions like, hey, Adam, I'm a close friend of yours. I heard this about you.
Yeah.
Is that true? That's totally different than, mm-hmm. I have no idea who Kirby is. But I one time listened to a YouTube video of hers and I wasn't even focusing. And now I'm going to start judging her as a heretic, you know? And so I think that's so important just to mm-hmm. look at that. Do we have any critics and are we being a critic to other people?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think something that the Lord has like softened my heart, even just with my dad, that has really carried out to every area of my life, is recognizing the humanity in people. Oof. And that's something that God really did a good work in my heart a few years ago is, you know, because there's always that question of like, okay, well, why did he do those things? Like, why was he struggling? And it's easy to just like, I think, demonize people in a way. Not that my dad was the worst person ever, because in my childhood, like, I remember him being a really, you know, like loving and kind amidst the things he was struggling with. But I don't know. It's like, God did a really good work in my heart in recognizing the humanity in people, the sin in people, the struggle in people. And I think in moments like this, where cancel culture is so real, even in the Christian community, where cancel culture is so real, that's like, okay, these people that are saying these things, like, they're real people. Or even if I see someone on the screen and I might be quick in my heart to judge them, it's like, wait, this is a real person. Like, pausing and reflecting and taking the time to either look up more of their content or even just praying and being like, you know what, like, I need to drop whatever I'm thinking or feeling right now, because I don't know this person. I don't know what they're going through. Because again, it's reflecting on the self of being like, I'm human. Like, oh my goodness. And so I wish that everyone, not to say that I'm perfect in that, but it's like, I wish that everyone had that, myself included, as like the first thing that we think of when we meet another person is, I don't know what they're going through, but I know they're just like me in the midst of the struggle, in the midst of, you know, working through it and just trying to get it right and do better. And so it's hard to kind of put that pressure in a way on other people when I'm being ridiculed of, well, why don't they see me like that? And it's like, well, the world does not bow down to Jesus. So it's like, I need to lead in that. And a phrase I've been saying so often is leading in love. It's like, I need to lead in love. I need to pray for people. I need to be the one to continue putting out my content. I mean, my friends have really been saying, Kirby, like, you know, you want to stop doing this and stop doing that. And you feel called to, or called, I say called, I, by my own flesh, like, you know, want to take down X, Y, and Z video that people are jumping on and ridiculing and taking out of context or whatever. And this is the first time this has really happened to me. And it's not even a big deal. Like, you listen to my podcast, you watch my stuff. It's like, I am so passionate and faithful to getting into the context of scripture and breaking it down. And it's like, to the people who have taken the time to like actually look me up, know that, and they don't have anything to say.
That's right.
But I'm only getting hate from the people who have just like taking the 2 second sound bite. But from that, I know that the people who have taken the time to look at the rest of my content, probably to make fun of me or whatever, have been able to see my humanity, hopefully. That's why I try to be vulnerable on social media. and have seen Jesus through that. So it's like, wow, which TikTok, satanic TikTok, you know, this side of TikTok, that side of TikTok. It's like, I'm like, wow, like, you know, I might be the only Bible they ever read at the end of the day as they try to make me, you know, a meme or this or that, whatever. It's like, now they're going on my page and seeing me talk about, like, I used to be depressed. I used to struggle with anxiety. I used to this, I used to that, but Jesus. And it's like, how can you not relate to that side of humanity with me, you know? Yeah. And it's not for my own, like, covering and safety, but it's like, this is who my God is. Like, look at him, like, look at what he's done. So God is still working in this, in me, in this, to just be more bold about him and really reflecting him in my content even more now than ever. Cause I'm like, well, this community's hopping on it. Let's see, let's, you know, beauty from ashes. Like, let's give this to the Lord. So
Kirby, I'm so glad that this interview took place when it did and not sooner. Mm-hmm. Because I think there's a wisdom even that comes from this, the last couple of weeks in your soul, that I just think even God's going to use to even just refine and make you even stronger. And so I'm actually really, really honored that I get to kind of interview right after this time of feeling criticized, of feeling judged in a whole lot of ways. And Kirby, I just want to thank you again for sitting down with me. Just an
honor.
Thanks
for having me.
Yeah, just an honor getting across paths with you. And I thank God for the Jesus inside of you and what he's doing in and through you.
Thank you. Well, thanks for having me. I'm so excited for everyone to listen to this podcast and hopefully glean something from it. Y'all need to check out Adam and I. We're doing one on my channel too. So be sure to check out both of ours, because it's going to be good content from the both of us.
Listening to The Conversation with Adam Weber. This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network. You can find more from Adam Weber on Instagram and Twitter and at adamweber.com.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network.